What's going on, everybody?
That's what right, people. The Face versus Willie Mack this Saturday, Harrah's Casino, Chester, Pennsylvania. I'm BJ. That's Chef the Ref. That's the Danger Ginger.
Yeah, you know, who am I? I'm just getting covered up as soon as you go to cut to me, you know.
We're here to talk about
SPO
Key to the City. I couldn't remember that. SPO's Key to the City.
Which will be from Harrah's Casino in Chester.
This Saturday night.
What's up, Tara?
It's not just us here tonight, neither. It wouldn't be Spocast without having Johnny Cashmere. How you doing tonight? And
what's
his
up,
brother,
man?
Robbie.
What's up?
We are in the house. I'm switching everything up. There's how we like the boxes.
All right.
Welcome, everybody, for the Taking It Home show. How's everybody doing on this lovely Tuesday evening here? I hope we are all getting ready for the show for Keys to the City. We have got a very stacked card, including that match that we saw start promoed up at the top, the Feral Face versus Willie Mack. So we're going to start a little earlier on the card than that. We're going to take it from the top and work our way down. So, Johnny, Robbie, you guys have put together a hell of a federation here in SPO. We are happy to be here with you guys. Just wanted to say that right off the bat. Thank you guys very much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. And I'm a real, real small part of it. I kind of came on just towards, you know, when I met you guys at the end, the middle of the summer and everything. So I'm still fairly new to promoting. Johnny, Mitch, JP, Tommy, the backseats, they put together something really cool. And Johnny and I, ironically enough, I was injured last year. I'm injured right now. Johnny and I reconnected while I was injured last year. As far as on a wrestling level, you know, because he was back in wrestling. So, and I got really interested in Spo and all the stuff he was doing with Spo because, you know, I'm a big kid at heart. If you can't tell from the whole setup here, I have the house basically of the 40-year-old virgin that he got having in the movie. So,
the failure, you know, to launch brothers.
And I loved the fact, and I genuinely mean this, I loved the fact that when I went to that first show, Joe Clean was you know, entering from the bathroom area, and we had so much fun. My son and I were there. We had so much fun. I managed Ruckus on it. Ruckus had a good time. And we don't have a ton of good times at shows anymore. That's just the honest God truth. You've been doing it as long as we have. It's hard to get excited about stuff, you know? And pretty much now that I'm, you know, I postponed another surgery for this to help make this thing happen. And just, like I said, be a small piece of this show on Saturday. Once I'm healed up, you'll only see me wrestle in places that I have fun and make me happy. And, you know, Spo's one of those places. So
that's the way to be, man.
It's a pleasure to be involved. And like I told the mayor and everyone yesterday, when we had a great meeting with Mayor Roots, it has really lit a fire under me and helped breathe some life into me as far as wrestling goes, especially dealing with this injury right now. It's given me something to look forward to as far as not just the show on Saturday. I think it'd actually be a little bit of a come down on Sunday when the show's over, because it's just been so much fun planning the show. And that's why I wanted to come on here. You know, normally I come on here and tell everybody to go fuck themselves. You know, that's my whole gimmick. That's what people.
You told us to go fuck ourselves.
Sure.
Boy, you know, guys, language.
Sorry, Johnny.
No longer a PG-13 show.
Sorry, I got stuck shut for a second.
But that's the thing. But this is me outside of being a performer and outside of what people enjoy me doing in the ring. This is me saying, as far as, you know, what fills my heart up. I got my boy the Grinch over here somewhere. If my heart has grown three sizes now, being involved with Spo and being able to help give other performers a platform and hopefully come up with some good stuff for some people and make them have fun the way that I'm having fun now, being part of the creative process in wrestling.
I mean, the more places where there's for talents to go and just be able to showcase their talents, is just overall better for the business. It gets fresh, it gets eyes on all of them. So, yeah, I guess now's a good time for us to start talking about the show. What's the first match we're talking about here, Chef?
Oh, first match we're going to start with. Why don't we start out with Robbie's match that he's got coming up? Robbie and Rockus.
You just want to hear him talk some more.
I do. I love hearing Robbie talk. I don't know what it is. He's just so interesting and just get enwrapped listening to him. So
before we get into talking about the match, I got a question for Robbie. Robbie, how are you feeling?
Okay. I mean, I live on the third floor too, so it's like every day is complicated, but I'll be okay. You know what?
You know what that Buffalo did to you last time?
Say that one time.
You got hell of act out last time.
You know what that Buffalo did to you, man. Are you ready to potentially face that danger again?
I could tell you this much, all right? I have never been a particularly great wrestler. I look okay, but I've never been a muscle guy. I've never been a body guy. I can't do a whole lot of flips, but I'm pretty street smart. I'm probably the most street smart guy on the indies, quite frankly. I mean, never been shot, never been locked up, never been canceled. And I run my mouth every place.
Such a low bar.
Yeah, well, how have you never been canceled?
Never been knocked out in the ring, never been shot on, never been, yeah, in the locker
room. You're doing something right.
Everything he's listing, I have.
And really going back, my brother will tell you, flat footed, speech impediment, prepubescent gynecomastia, literally, yeah. Everything working against me.
Wow,
I had
man.
A big ass brain.
All right, so now I have.
Is Bobby over here turning face?
I have actual follow up with that. You say you have the street smarts and you're ready. Well, where was the street smarts and his readiness at the last event where Hank got the best of you?
Well, see, they said you can't fight City Hall, right? As you see what's happening now, people are learning that you can't fight City Hall. You can't fight the government. People are very upset one way or another right now. And I essentially was a political prisoner. I mean, look.
That's a strong word.
In the same category of men like Che Guevara and Nelson Mandela. Yeah. In
Bobby this Illuminati.
Instance, I'm going to say yes. I was a political prisoner of the mayor, of Mayor Stephen Roots. And yet, I still go to this man, hat in hand, okay, to try to make something right for those kids in Chester. You know, I grew up tough. And I can only imagine what it's like to grow up tough and in Chester with no hopes and dreams on top of that. So, again,
now
my heart, and this is my way to pay for.
The political prisoner thing. I've never heard you refer to yourself as that before. I have a lot of sympathy for that, man. I hope you're going to be okay, brother.
I knew you would, and that's why I wanted to tell you here on the air so we could get a genuine reaction out of you.
Thank you.
And of course,
power to Robbie.
I try to be a good little brother to Johnny too and not make a bunch of fuss and hoot and holler and carry on too much when it comes to the mayor, because he's provided our company here with a great opportunity. But right. At the same time, what's right is right. I didn't get medevaced out because Hank was such a dangerous competitor. I got medevaced out because I wrestled a non-wrestler in a Buffalo suit. And that's why I'm a political prisoner.
Because the mayor allowed it.
I'm guilted into doing these matches. I'm guilted in to doing things out of the goodness of my heart.
Guilted. He says guilted.
Yeah, it's a shame. But again.
I mean, I kind of see your point there. Because now you also have an opponent who you don't know who it is.
The Patriots protege. Sounds political to me.
That's known here.
And the Patriot. Like, so the Patriots protege. We're talking about the Patriot. A man
sounds political.
Who fate, the greatest in your house of all time. In your house, Canadian Stampede. I watched the Patriot go toe-to-toe with guys like Bret Hart and Brian Pillman and Owen Hart and Davey Boy Smith and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. And now that
those matches. Patriot,
the Patriot that fought Stone Cold Steve Austin, he's going to go and get a protege? Again, political prisoner for the Patriot. Yes. What does he represent? The man. The establishment.
There we go. Thank you. Okay. I thought the red things over the protege's shoulders were the Patriot's hands.
Now
he's just wearing a cape.
Kind of looks like that.
I'll be honest. I did too. I thought that the Patriot had red gloves on, and I didn't realize he did until you said
Was giving him a massage. Like, this is my protege.
He's going to need a massage after the match. Believe me. Okay.
It's a Vulcan neck grab is what it is. And maybe you'll need a chiropractor, guys.
Sorry. All pro chiropractic will be there having a table active during the meet and greet.
Yep. They'll have their hands right there on Patriot's protege's shoulders.
So, guys, long story short, in all seriousness, you see I have a torn ACL. I promise you fans out there, I promise you guys that are fans, I promise my brother, he knows, I would never waste your time and not remove myself from this match if I wasn't going to make sure that you weren't talking about whatever happens on Saturday. Okay.
Absolutely.
I got a real big brain and I got a real big chip on my shoulder.
So,
this
Robbie,
whole run is based on spite. When I came back 15 years ago, Johnny knows this. When I came back at the first Acid Fest, this is based on spite because what's right is right. And in the history books, they're going to look back in independent wrestling and see that the Backseat Boys at Blackout were the brands that changed this game forever.
Well, that's true.
All right. So,
I'll give you. I don't know about the whole spite thing, though, because you don't want to build your foundation on spite. We got to build our foundation on positivity.
I mean, my in-ring, the way I behave in the ring.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, that's what I say. This is spite as far as what I'm willing to do, the pain I'm willing to go through. It's for the people that have my back. I'm not one of these guys that comes out here, oh, I'm a heel. I hate all. No, if you want to buy my shirt, I love you. I got child support to pay, baby. You want to buy my stuff?
This man has
to the ring, okay? I'm not
Spider-Man. Drunk. Spider-Man with a T. I'm Batman, you're Spider-Man.
BJ, what's your thoughts on what you see with this match?
Well, if you would have asked me about 10 minutes ago, I would have said, you know what? Hank the Buffalo did a number on Robbie, and whoever this other guy is, you know, he'll take a beating, but I think Hank's got it. But honestly, like, hearing that, like, you know, no disrespect to Blackout, like, yeah, Ruckus is the absolute man, Robbie's the absolute man, but now I'm thinking of it in a new light, and if everything you say is true, man, I'm picking Ruckus and Robbie for this one. I'm picking Blackout.
God bless your heart.
How about you, Chef?
You've come a long way since when I saw you in July on the streets in Gloucester City.
I was just trying to stay alive and out of jail back then. Now I have focus.
Fair enough.
I mean, you did have some choice words for us at that time.
I once was blind, but now I see.
That's my pick.
So I guess I was asked to make a pick here. Robbie. We don't know who your opponent's going to be yet. The great unknown. I'm wondering how have you and Ruckus like factored for that plus Hank, who you've had to deal with before, because that'll greatly influence my decision here.
Well, all I can do is make it. All I can do is say to you, man to man, is that I have a big brain. My tag team partner has a big brain and a body of work that speaks for itself. And we have a plan. Dare I say a blueprint?
You know what? I always love a good plan. I'm picking Blackout.
I'm winning them over, baby.
You know what? After everything I've heard, and taking into consideration what happened at the last show, I want to pick Blackout. My only problem is that mystery opponent. Because it could be anybody. It's somebody trained by the Patriot. I'm assuming he wouldn't just throw some rookie out there at you guys who are veterans in this game. Yeah, this isn't your first rodeo.
I like what you did there, too, with the Buffalo. Yeah, you're right. It's not.
But you know what? I think I am in agreement with these guys. I'll go blackout as well.
And Johnny, you're partial. So thank you. I'll thank you ahead of time for your prediction.
So we'll count this as a clean sweep. Part of me right now is saying, how about that? Robbie comes on and it's a clean sweep. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Is everything you just said true? Are you the man you say you are now?
Just have to wait and see, BJ.
I like it. I like
you. Got my pick, but now I'm thinking.
I'm like,
I mean, my only thing is what happens if something happens to Ruckus and you're the one who has to climb that ladder with your injury?
Yeah, that is a distinct possibility.
It's probably one I should have thought of ahead of time, quite frankly.
Great. There's a hole in the strategy.
Adrenaline will carry you.
Okay. Why don't we move on?
Black Elephant.
Yeah. I think that's a good point to move on. So what's the next match you're throwing at us, Raph?
Next match, we are going to go with the ladies. We got Tasha Steelz, hybrid women's champion, TNA star, and her challenger, Ruthie J. Now, we saw Tasha at the last event. She took the women's belt from Ms. Christina Marie, and then Christina was so distraught, she fired Molyneux right in front of us. So
and Molyneux has not been seen again.
No, he has not. Now, Tasha Steelz has, in the meantime, gone on to contribute to TNA and their outstanding women's roster that they have currently. So she's been getting work in there. And Ruthie J, I have not had a chance to watch her. Johnny, what can you tell us about Ruthie J a little bit?
She's trained by Gangrel down in Florida, wrestles for the NWA.
Didn't you watch the Spocast a couple weeks ago, man?
I'm sorry, I was not there. So, Johnny, please familiarize me.
There could be other people and, who need to know as well.
Yeah, it's always somebody's first Spocast.
Good call. Yeah, no, she was trained by Gangrel down in Florida. So she's going to be making the trip up here from Florida. She's very well-trained and her name on Instagram is Ruthie All Smiles. And it really captures her essence because she really seems to have like a very good positive personality about her, which is interesting because Tasha's a fan favorite in Harris. So I'm interested to see how the fans react to this.
Yeah. Tasha was definitely over with the crowd, especially after we had maybe had enough of Christina Marie and Molyneux's antics together. Maybe we were ready to move on from her. So Tasha Steelz seems to have been a perfect choice for SPO for us to be able to get our new champion there. So Danger Ginger, I know that you've been keeping an eye on specifically Tasha Steelz. What have you seen out of her? Not only at the last SPO show, but even since then that she's been doing.
I've seen some really good stuff out of her from TNA. You know, she's been in some high profile matches recently. I do believe she even had a championship match with Jordan Grace before Jordan lost the championship to the current champion, Masha. Ruthie J, I'm a bit familiar with as well, with her work in the NWA. She's good at what she does as well. This should be a fun matchup. Just like the crowd was hot for when the ladies at the last show, I think the crowd will get behind this as well. I'm very interested to see how the crowd reacts, not only to Tasha, but to Ruthie as well.
Yeah.
Because these are two just established names who we haven't necessarily seen in a WWE or AEW ring. But they are out there, and they are putting in the work.
So, BJ, go ahead.
Well, we have it's what's interesting about the matchup is it's an interpromotional match. If you think about it, that may not have had.
Yes.
And those don't happen a whole lot anymore now where, because the schedules are so hectic and so many people are running so many different places, you know, we have one of the top female talents from TNA wrestling facing one of the top females in the National Wrestling Alliance. So that's, to me, what makes this match really special. If you guys have been following the independents as long as I have, you know, it used to be a big deal where you'd get a guy that was coming right out of WWF fighting a guy that was right out of WCW. And
yeah, absolutely.
It was very rare, or, you know, when, let's say, Paul E. brought in Bobby Eaton and Arn Anderson, and it was Eaton and Sabu versus Anderson and Funk, you know, when Worlds Collide. And we have a whole lot of that happening with our show on Saturday. And Tasha and Ruthie is just one of those elements where you have two people that are similar but from different worlds. They're from totally different worlds as far as the wrestling stratosphere goes. And it's one of those rare chances to see them cross paths and face in the ring. And not just face, but face for a prestigious women's championship that's been held by some of the best females in the industry right now. So, and I might be mistaken, but I do believe Tasha is a former Knockouts champion.
Yes, I do believe she's also a former Knockouts tag team champion.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, so that right there elevates the stakes in the match too, because Tasha's coming in now, you know, not just as our champion, but she also shows that she can do it as far as in tag team.
She knows what it takes to stay at the top of the mountain.
Absolutely. She knows how to navigate this very complicated world of being a professional wrestler, and she's very good at it. And Ruthie J is right there with her. If we're doing predictions, though, I will say this. If you can't tell from my my rebirth on this podcast, I do think a positive attitude goes a really long way. So I think that Ruthie All Smiles is going to possibly shock the world.
Wow.
Eve okay. Harris.
Yes. First.
Here, I'll get real dad joke with it. I think she's going to bet on herself at the casino on Saturday.
I see what you did there.
Walk out with that goal.
Well played. So, BJ, what are you hoping to see out of this match between these two ladies?
I mean, I've seen Tasha. I haven't seen Ruthie. But if you're in NWA, like, you're doing something right. I expect to see a competitive match. And I pretty much expect to see Tasha win. It's the accolades that do it. Love the positivity, love the smiles, but what's it mean when you're getting punched in the face?
That is fair.
That's touché. A good way to put it.
Touché.
Danger Ginger, who are you thinking in this match?
I think this is going to be one of those coin flip style matches to where, like, I can look at both of them and at any given time probably flip-flop. But if I'm going to stick with one thing, I'm going to stick with the champion retaining. But I think it's going to be a hard-fought match. I think this match could even steal the show.
I will say this much. I have been in a ring with Gangrel before, so that might be also something that's playing a factor in my decision as well.
Fair enough.
I know that Gangrel only has one gear, and it's the fast gear.
I've been in the same room as Tasha Steeles once, so that's why I picked her.
Whatever sways you there. What about you, Chef?
I am also going with the champ, Tasha Steeles. I feel that she is the champ for a reason. She took over from Christina Marie, who was just dominant as the women's champion before her. And I don't see her easily giving up the fight here. I think Ruthie J, she'll bring the smiles, she'll bring the positivity. And I think Tasha is going to bring that Brick City attitude and just bring the beat down. And keep that belt. Yep.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how, outside of us, how the rest of the crowd reacts to everything.
Yeah.
Because I think these are two well enough known names that you could see a situation where the crowd cheers for both of them coming out to the ring.
And as over as Tasha was last event.
Absolutely.
I feel like the positivity of Ruthie can kind of match that, you know?
Oh, 100%. That's one of the exciting things about it for me.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I don't know who I'm going to be chanting for.
It's going to be a kind of feel it out, see what happens.
Yep. All right. Well, how about we move on to a next match? I know that BJ, you are definitely looking forward to this one. Primal Fear versus Post Game.
So. Who will be performed to the ring by Levari, Billboard recording artist.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Yep. Just had a recent appearance on Jimmy Kimmel. What was it that I heard?
I can't really figure out who I'm going to pick for this one. No.
Of course you can't.
Yeah, no, there's no foreshadowing there whatsoever.
These guys are future champions in SPO. These guys are just very good dudes. They are absolute monsters. Yeah, man. Post-game, when I saw them at the last event, I just straight up wasn't impressed, man. Like, post-game, like, yeah, they're big dudes. They got a gimmick going. But, like, let me see you in a year and see how you are. You know what I mean?
In defense of that, though, they did go up against the current SPO and JCW World Tag Team Champions.
That could be the case, but I feel like...
You're talking about, like, levels of competition there. Like, it could be just like, hey, they weren't ready for that. It's like throwing a double-A baseball team up against the current champions.
Let me put it this way. If they're not ready for that, then they're not ready for Primal Fear.
Well, I do know this much. Since being paired with Levari, I know that they have been incorporating a lot of what Levari does to work out as a performance artist, as far as Pilates, yoga, different types of training and stuff like that. So I know that the conditioning that Post Game is going to be coming in now, you know, I would expect to see them almost a little leaner and a little more spry. Being paired with Levari. I've been Vinny especially has been posting a lot of stuff training down a catch point. And I've been in a ring with Primal Fear before, and you are right about that. Those kids hit hard, they are hungry, they are fierce competitors. You know you're in a fight when you're in a ring with Primal Fear. Yeah. So that's what's going to be interesting to see, you know, is Post Game now with this new swagger, with having a superstar like Levari paired with them. You know, there's a lot of opportunities for Post Game. You know, they got a world match, and now they're being paired with Levari. So clearly Post Game are doing things right as far as the way that they are putting themselves out there. They're making a lot of right moves for a young tag team.
Well, hey, they got booked at Spo again. So
yeah,
they must
Johnny,
be doing something right.
You signed these guys. You obviously see something in them. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what it might be that you are seeing in these guys that you're trying to help them bring out here?
Well, I mean, they're trying to make it in the tag world. It's not easy to try to sell yourself to promoters around the United States in a bad economy as a tag team. You know, don't just bring me out, bring my partner out too, and pay us both and put, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's not easy. So I have a lot of respect that these guys are trying it. Post Game reminds me a little bit of me and Trent when we were younger. I can't help but admit that. They have a certain charisma, a certain how dare they about them. And
almost like they have a chip on their shoulder naturally.
Whatever it is, something about them resonates with me. And Primal Fear, I've been at the wrestling school with them many times. I see how good they are in and out of the ring. So as far as I'm concerned, these two tag teams are some of the best tag teams around.
So do you see them as being more evenly matched than BJ is seeing them?
Yeah, I think Post Game has a hell of a shot at this one. I really do, because they came in and I think Post Game learned from their antics last time with the Backseat Boys. You know, you got to take the Backseat Boys super seriously, super seriously. They're absolutely like the crown. They're the crown jewel of tag team wrestling right now, in my opinion. And, you know, they're the ones sitting on top of the mountain right now that need to be knocked off. And right now, I don't see either of these teams ready to do that. So it's stone sharpened stone. And maybe in a few months, one of these guys are going to be ready to step back up to the back seats.
I mean, personally, I feel like Primal Fear, since they bid in Spo, has been chasing that down, the tag team titles. Because every time they're in the ring, they look great every time. And they look like them in the back seats would be a great match for the fans, regardless of who would win. And in this, You know, I've seen stuff recently online with post-game because I follow both the guys on Instagram. So I've seen some of their stuff recently. And I even thought they looked okay in their match at the last show, but they were just outgunned. They weren't ready for the moment. Like this is more of a moment to them that it's more equal footing. You're now going against another team fighting for those SPO tag team championships.
They don't know what they're
in. Who would it mean? Which team would it mean more for to get the win out of this one?
Right now would be post game, given of how new of a team they relatively are teaming up together. So yeah, it would mean more for them.
It would mean more for post game, but I feel like Primal Fear is hungrier.
So now, if Primal Fear does pull this off, do they maybe get into that number one contender conversation, or do they still have to?
We've got another tag team match to talk about, which could have implications on the tag team title.
Let's make our picks for this match,
at this moment, I'm leaning toward Primal Fear to win this. I think they're just a more experienced team, but I think post-game will give them a hell of a fight and show that there's a reason that fans should invest in them. It's just not their time.
All right, BJ, who do you think? Well, we know who BJ thinks, but let's hear it again.
Official word. All
right, Robbie, do you have a dog you're picking in this fight?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
No, the guy behind you.
No, I didn't hear you. Sorry about that. I am actually totally split down the middle with this because, like I said, I see all the potential in the world in post-game, especially with having LaVar along with them and having a new coat of paint on them, so to speak, and just, you know, a new level of I don't want to say prestige, but it's a new level for them as a tag team now. They're not just a tag team.
It does raise their prestige.
What's that?
He does raise their prestige a little bit.
Yeah, it's right.
Does he raise the in-ring skill?
They'll still have to bring the goods when the bell rings. However, right. I think that the pressure is going to be up for them. Yeah. I think that this is going to give them a platform. And, you know, they did take a loss back in November, but they looked impressive. And that says a lot. To look impressive back, you know, back in the day to – even get a two count on a champion meant a lot. So,
oh yeah,
100%.
Let's take that into account that they hung in there with the backseat boys. So I think that coming off of that loss, being very hungry and having Lavari, I think that they're going to be the most formidable they've ever been. However, I haven't lost a lot. I think I've only lost like twice in 2024, and one of those two times was the Primal Fear.
Yeah.
Hey. So.
Yeah. That was one in game.
That was over at
Super Crazy.
Oh, that was at Super Crazy.
Yeah, it's Super Crazy. Yeah, I couldn't think of it. Super Crazy. So. Yeah. So I'm split down the middle. So I'm gonna.
We're having a show Friday night that I might go to. I might be in Gloucester Friday night. Because I went to their last show and it was just a great time. I didn't know anybody, but they put on some good shows.
Is that Robbie? Well, a big time. No, go back to that. Go back to that.
Here Chris we go. Morris.
I tried to get it off the screen real fast.
Why did you even put it up, Johnny?
That's Rat Boy.
It is Rat Boy.
His house was so dirty. Hulk Hogan walked in and came out Dusty Rhodes. The roaches used to ride around in dune buggies in that dude's house.
Oh,
seriously.
Oh, man.
He used to like stalk my ex girlfriend, too. I used to
where did the toilet affect this cup?
I did it. I did it.
I've never popped so hard on screen than when I have in this stream with Robbie. Oh, my God.
He's like, you know, when you talk to him, it's like you're stuck in traffic behind a trash truck. You're like on 8th Street in South Philly, and it's Friday. And that's Rat Boy's essence.
Moving on now. Thanks, Johnny. Keep going. So where are we at here? We all pick Primal Fear?
Actually, I haven't made a pick yet. So Primal Fear. Pick? Primal Fear is definitely formidable. They are on the rise. But I just have a feeling, like, post-game, they're going to have something up their sleeves that's maybe a little devious, I feel. They're coming out to the ring with Lavari. I don't know if they might have learned a little something, a little on the devious side to win a match. So I think that they are going to pull it out. Might not be the cleanest win, but I think post-game is going to get the win here.
Is there a possibility that Lavari could get involved?
There is. I would say there is a possibility here because we've never seen Lavari in Espo before. We don't know what he's going to be there for. We don't know what he's going to be bringing to this match. So I think that could be the edge that post-game needs to put him over here.
I think we lost Robbie here.
No, we didn't. He wants us to see
it. No, we got him.
He wants us to see that thing is what it is. Oh my goodness. Well, here, speaking of, talk about that.
Yeah, oh yeah, special performances, which I believe is going to be during the pre-show or directly during the show as well.
Yeah, Lavari's going to play a song before post games. He's going to play post game to the ring.
Yeah.
And then the Hood,
yeah, Velcro.
Velcro is going to play before his match, and then the Hood, Prince Charming is also going to open up the show, and we actually have words from the Hood Prince Charming.
Oh, yeah. Ah, yes.
From his roof in Chester. You ready for this, everyone?
I'm ready.
Service announcement, man. I'll be performing this Saturday, February 8th, at Harris Casino in Chester. They gave me an opportunity to open up for the Key to the City Superpowers of Wrestling event. You feel me? And I want y'all to beat me there. You feel what I'm saying? Beat me there, don't beat me there. Because like I said, I'm opening up. You know, and I set the tone. I'm going to set the tone. You feel me? So beat me there, don't beat me there, man. Beat me there, don't beat me there.
In too deep, need a little more sleep. It's way too hard to function. I can't win if everybody got their own assumption.
Just real quick. Did he say meet me there or beat me there?
He said beat me there, don't beat me there. Get there first. Get there first.
Yeah. Yeah, be there before he starts.
He's going to make an entrance. He's the Hood Prince Charming.
From Chester, Chester Jones. Is that his music clip there at the end of that? Nice. I like that sound.
He's good artist.
All the guys have really good music. Like, I've listened to Lavari's music. I listened to Velcro's music. Robbie, you even like Velcro's music now, right?
I like all the artists we have featured are all very good for the lane that they're in. You know, we have Velcro, who's rap rock. We have Lavari, who's club music and more like house freestyle music. We have Tay Rock, who is a battle rap legend. Willie Dange and Nail the Hood, Prince Charming. They make music that would be more defined of what's popular now in the hip hop culture. You know, so we're real lucky to have that, as well as Tone Love from Tough Crew. My part of town, one of the most successful. I DJ here and there, and my part of town is still very, very heavily requested. And we're talking that song now is over 30 years old. It's one of the iconic Philly hip hop songs, right? Really, and that's not me just blowing smoke because Tone's going to be at the event. When I saw that Tone was at our last event, I freaked out. I really couldn't believe it. I'm saying when it comes to Philly hip hop, this is me being legit. There's Will Smith, Summertime. There's My Part of Town. There's Glamorous Life. There's a few songs that are synonymous with Philly hip hop. And My Part of Town, Tough Crew was one of the first ones, you know. So real, real honor. And also, you know, when Johnny and I were putting together the entertainment for the Hank's pregame, a big part of it was we wanted to try to put elements in a room together that could essentially work well together. You know, for the young rappers that are going to be at our event, they have the opportunity to mingle and talk and pick the brain of a guy like Tone Love, who was one of the first rap record labels, you know. So there's opportunities for people like Lavari, who has a sound and, you know, is real into performing and everything. We have R5 Media there, we have Rich Poe there, we have A&R's there in the music industry there. So there's a lot of opportunities there. there's a lot of opportunities. And these artists, like I said before, as far as the ladder match, I wouldn't waste anybody's time. We would not waste your time or waste your ears with music that you're not going to like. We're not going to waste your time with entertainers who aren't going to want to interact with you. Now, I'm a single father. I can tell you right now that if I was just some dumb mark in the wrestling business, I could never afford to take my son to a show in a million years. And that's not calling fans dumb marks. I'm just saying, being real. being straight up. If I
double marked.
No, I'll tell you flat out. I wanted to take my son to WrestleMania last year, and I couldn't afford it, and I got made fun of for trying to get out.
Those nosebleed seats were ridiculously priced.
So
why was that last picture blurred out?
I'm holding a Coca-Cola, and we don't have their intellectual property cleared.
Oh, right. Okay. Just making sure. That's okay.
Good thing.
Yeah.
I was going to question if it was a middle finger because I have a sole other thing to bring up with the picture with Ruckus if it was just the middle finger.
That wasn't my initial thought, but okay.
But we want people. We really want people. You can't go to an Eagles game. You can go to Sixers games. Sixers games pop up all the time on Groupon. You know, God bless them. But really, it's really hard. But let's say you got three kids. You probably, even with that Groupon, it's probably going to be kind of hard to go to that Sixers game. Now, let's say you got three kids and you normally work on a Saturday and you got to take a day off from work to go to that Sixers game. And maybe you don't get paid time off. See, that's the kind of stuff I'm thinking about. You know, to be successful in this wrestling business, I did a lot of stuff that sucked and a lot of stuff that, like, made it hard to date a girl, made it hard to, like, be respected by people my own age and stuff because I wanted to pursue this wrestling business. So when I'm Ubering and running a GNC and sleeping in my car in the parking lot of the mall to go do Uber after I'm done working at the store for 12 hours, I did that so one day I could be in a position with my brother to help empower people and help put on good opportunities for people.
Sorry.
So that's what we're doing. So whether it be the rappers, whether it be the artists, whether it be the wrestlers, whether it be the fans, this is our love letter to pro wrestling. This is saying pro wrestling didn't just – I wouldn't say pro wrestling saved my life. Pro wrestling gave us the life that we have and gave us a happy life and gave us all a lot of joy in our lives, guys.
And me as a fan, absolutely, I agree with that. I've been a fan of pro wrestling for 35 years, and I've even said this to Johnny myself about this whole event, that this is a star-studded event. This is something like I've never attended as a wrestling event with so much different stuff all at once, and wrestling's the main event of this whole thing, that starting with the meet and greet first.
You guys are part of that.
We could do an entire show about the meet and greet. We could do an entire pre-show about the meet and greet.
No, your enthusiasm, though, is a big part of why Johnny and I work so hard and the backseats work so hard and Mitch works so hard and Mayor Roots is working so hard. Because when you believe in somebody, you empower them to do things that they didn't think were possible before. Okay?
It's that validation, man.
We were 100%.
You're doing everything right.
You believed in us when we were running over in Gloucester City. You believed in Johnny when he was running in Burlington.
With 40 people in the crowd.
Right.
And it sounds like 150, 200 people in that building cheering.
Right, because if there were 43 with you three in the crowd, then that was all the energy we needed. But we still need that energy. We still need
it.
We need everybody
to
come out Saturday. I don't make promises I can't keep. I promise you that you are going to not go to a show where people are going to work harder to make you happy and to earn your love of them as a wrestler, to earn your love and appreciation of SPO wrestling, to earn your love and appreciation for the music that they put out. That's what we want to do. Like I said, this is a love letter to pro wrestling from two brothers, dare I say, that got their hearts broken by this business again and again and just won't give up. Won't give up.
Let's not forget about Tommy Grayson's backseat silver challenge.
Tommy is very generous with giving out those tickets this weekend. Wear silver, getting a free ticket for the next April event. So,
yep,
you've got
your what else, Chef? Too. I don't mean to interject. I'm sorry. Excuse me. But also, anyone that buys a ticket to this Saturday's event at SpoWrestling.com will we are going to let a kid from Chester in for free. So for every adult buys a ticket, that's what we're going to do. All right. So tickets are at SpoWrestling.com. Grab your tickets today, and you'll see plenty of kids in the crowd that are enjoying it because of you. So thank you.
And if you can't make it, you can donate a ticket. You are welcome to donate a ticket for a kid who can't be there. Okay. We appreciate it. We know we have fans all over the country. We have fans all over the world, especially Johnny. Johnny has been all over the world. And we have friends all over the world and fans all over the world. So if you want to do something nice and pay it forward, you can always, if you can't make it on Saturday, there's a kid who would love to be there. So feel free to donate a ticket. It will not be done in vain. And that kid will have a great time. And you might help make a new fan of pro wrestling that might not have been able to be there otherwise.
Maybe inspire them to become a pro wrestler even.
Well, we're working on something with that too. So we shall see.
And I know the kids at the last show were super hyped to be there. They were loud the entire time. So they were having a great time at the last show.
Go on.
Go back to that picture, John, whoever's doing the pictures right now, guys.
Yep, that's me.
Yeah, go back to that real quick.
What picture was it?
Ruta's.
Who?
You guys.
The Ruta picture.
Oh, yes, sorry.
All right, so imagine you're a little kid. And you've only seen wrestling on TV and you've never been to a live event. Imagine you walk up to this table and you see these three guys with all these championship belts and you get to meet the Backseat Boys and you get to meet Johnny Cashmere. You get to take a picture with all these championship belts. Okay. Not you have to wait in line and get a ticket ahead of time for the Fan Fest and maybe if you pay $50, you get to take a 3-second. No, you get to come interact with world champions. These are the Backseat Boys that wrestle all over the world. Wrestle for they are the JCW World Champion Champions. Ooh, two of the most prestigious tag team titles in this industry. And if you're a young kid, you're going to meet the champs. They love meeting their fans. You get to take pictures with the belts, and if you wear silver, then you're getting a ticket to the next show for free from the champs. Oh, I'll lift the champs. That's cool.
You come. And Tommy will be checking everyone's pants.
You come. You get to roll with the champs. I don't get to roll.
That's all he has to do.
Oh man. So where are we at on talking about matches here? Because we've gotten kind of off the rails here a little bit.
We have let's go with right there. JP Grayson and Griffin McCoy, one half of the JCW and SPO tag team champions. JP Grayson in a singles match against Griffin McCoy, who has just been a thorn in so many sides in this company.
Griffin McCoy's been out doing great things, especially with JCW recently. What he's been doing in GCW has been absolutely amazing. He's really been putting in the work, and even his matches with Spo have been matches that we talk about after the show. Most of them with Charlie Tiger, but he's still somebody we talk about, you know. And it's very interesting now also to see somebody who's current JCW and Spo tag team champion in a singles match against him. I'm actually very excited about this because I don't know what to expect from JP in a single situation.
Well, as we learned last night, man, he says he's ready. He says he's don't put it on me, man. He was about to give his pick. I'm just kind of throwing in like a little. He says he's ready, man. He says he's been a singles competitor. He's done this before. He's got this.
Yeah, but it comes to something that once you've been tagging for a while, you know, that habit of being able to tag out, catch your breath a little bit, like that mindset of you have that partner to tag out when you're in trouble, to where Griffin McCoy's been doing mostly singles matches or a combination.
So you think JP don't have no cardio?
Oh, I'm not saying that at all. But that does play into somebody who's used to strategizing in that tag team mindset.
Right.
And then going into that singles mindset. But
But how better than to stay sharp, considering, you know, I can speak from personal experience. Even when Johnny and I were no longer a tag team, having a brother that was a pro wrestler that I had access to at any time, I mean, I had no excuse to not stay sharp. So while JP may not be used to singles competition as far as what he where he normally performs as a tag team wrestler, I think the fact that JP has had a lot of time to study Griffin, and also JP has another wrestling mind right there in the same under the same roof, I think that gives him an edge that keeps him kind of sharp at all times.
Now, I'm also taking into account he is one half of the JCW and SPO Tag Team Champions. To be a champion is no easy feat, whether it's with a partner or in singles. That's a lot of dedication, and that's a lot of hard work of constantly going out there. I just wonder how Griffin McCoy stacks up going up against a champion, even if it is a tag team champion. Because the competition the backseats face wherever they are is some of the best competition in the world right now.
And all different varieties of competition, too.
Big, 100%.
All different types of tag teams out there on the scene right now.
Like they've held their own with the Outrunners.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Where I'm going. You know, they faced every top tag team out there right now. So that gives you that. You got two guys that have really that are very well traveled right now, that are very much on the rise right now, and have been associated with strong brands in this industry, you know, such as the Backseat Boys or the Young, Dumb, and Broke brand. And you have two guys that both were on the world People versus GCW.
Yes. Too.
So this is again another high profile match that you wouldn't be able to see anywhere else. Where else are you going to see JP in a singles match against Griffin McCoy? Where else are you going to get Young, Dumb, and Broke versus Backseats? At SPO, the same place you're going to get Ruby J versus Tasha Steelz, get a ladder match.
Some of the best talent right now.
We got stuff to get to.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on this, BJ?
JP, all day. I don't care how many singles matches Griffin McCoy has had. JP's on another level, man.
I gotta give Griffin McCoy his respect that he's has probably some of the more tougher, harder hitting style matches than JP's been in recently. To where, you know, that stone sharpened stone, you know. Like, that is something to definitely think about with him being a regular singles competitor, especially the last couple of matches we've seen him in live. We've seen him in the Tiger Cage match. We saw him in the match at the last show. Like, there's or maybe the show before that, but he is a top competitor out there who is out there doing it at a singles level.
Oh, absolutely. Every night.
Absolutely. But I think I have to go with the champ on this as well, because I just think the whole tag team championships in multiple places isn't an easy feat to accomplish. That's a lot of training and a lot of hard work, regardless if it's singles or tag team.
Okay. I'm also going with JP. Griffin is a hell of a competitor. We've seen him win. We've seen him lose. But I think JP is just a level or two above him at this point. And Griffin McCoy, while he could pull something devious, I don't see JP falling for it. And I see JP pulling out the win, coming through.
All right, boy, we really don't disagree on too many of our picks here, guys.
No, we do not. But that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Barely go 3-for-3, though.
Well, maybe this next one can get us a little bit of dissension here. We've got Velcro coming out with Tay Rock, and he will go against former WWE star James Ellsworth, who has not one, not two, but three victories against AJ Styles.
Boy, James Styles was the man to beat AJ Styles, not once, not twice, but three times, the real winner of the first ever Women's Money in the Bank ladder match at Owen. Saturday, February the 8th, I'm coming to SPO Wrestling in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, at the Raz Casino at 5 p.m. And I'm taking on a dude named Velcro, and he's got his little buddy who's a battle rapper named Tay-Rock. In a wrestling match, and neither one of you guys are really wrestlers, right? Huh? I'm a television legend in wrestling, but you battle rap? Is that what you do? Tay Rock? Listen, I got a little battle rap of my own for you and your boy Velcro. I'm gonna take care of on the 8th. And it goes a little something like this. Boom, boom. My name's James Ellsworth, and they say I don't got a chin. Boom, boom. That's okay, because I'm coming to Philadelphia to get the win. Boom, boom. When I'm done with you both, you're not going to be able to dance, boom, boom, because I'm going to show you both that any man with two hands has a fighting chance.
Where you get that from? How yeah, can like, not be inspired?
Put a beat behind that and, like, make that a chorus. You don't even need a verse, and that's making $1 million on Spotify right there.
Absolutely. Hell yeah.
So,
James Ellsworth, we've obviously seen him on television for years. We've seen he's been active for a while now. Velcro, relatively new, up and comer. He is definitely coming up. His pro wrestling debut. Johnny, what about Velcro made you feel like he was ready to make his debut here and against James Ellsworth nonetheless?
Well, Velcro wrestles with Yaya the Gremlins Fed, which is Gremlin House Wrestling. They actually run at the Super Crazy Arena. They did. And that's where we met Velcro. We had the chance of hanging out with him and Tay Rock. They were great guys. They love the wrestling business. You can see it. And I watched him dive off the top rope and do some things that I was very impressed. And I realized that this guy's just waiting for an opportunity. And he's a Philly born and bred, you know, star. So I'm just excited to give him the opportunity, to be honest. I think he's going to really impress people. His music's great. So we're going to get to hear him sing and then we're going to get to see him wrestle. I mean, it's literally like you can't beat it. So I'm excited to watch.
So how did the match with him come together against Ellsworth? what was the inspiration of just pairing him up against James Ellsworth?
You know how, you know, one time my son and I were in Universal Studios and in the Simpsons ride, there was a button that said, do not press. And him and I could not run over to that button to press it quick enough. Him, we were like pushing each other out of the way to press the button to see, like, maybe it would blow up the Simpsons ride or, you know, Universal. I don't know. But yeah, when we were putting this match together, I felt like, let's just come up with a spectacle. And that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to come up with a spectacle. What would happen if the first ever Miss Money in the Bank based vocal is the first ever singles match?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Now, this is in the continuity of SPO, so we will not see Ultimate Ellsworth, correct?
Oh, I must say, I absolutely love all that in JCW.
Oh, man.
With the Ultimate Ellsworth stuff.
Well, hey, he was like Snuka. He was an extra, like Snuka used to be an extra 200 with the splash.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because we're, you know, trying to run with the whole nonprofit model and everything, he was a little out of our range to get Ultimate Ellsworth, unfortunately.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Right.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So we're getting laid back Ellsworth.
Here you go.
We're getting the battle rapper Ellsworth, apparently.
Oh, well.
He's a fighting chance.
Awesome. Props to Violent J. Everything they're doing over there has been absolutely amazing.
Hell yeah.
They're having fun, and that's what this should be about.
That's what wrestling is about, stupid fun. Yes,
100%.
Everybody can hate their job and do anybody can hate their job. But if you're going to be in something like this where you sacrifice so much, you should be having a time of your life. You should look back and say, it was all worth it.
So, yeah, I broke my leg, but we hit the ending and everybody popped.
The buffalo broke my leg, but I hit the ending and everybody popped, right?
There you go.
Hey, at least you got a helicopter ride out of it.
I still question the validity of all of that. I'll but, be you honest know, with all due respect.
Like, so for real, we have to. It's like when Vince's limo blew up and then Benoit killed his family. We did the helicopter thing, and then the helicopter crashed in Washington. So that's, we won't ever mention that again.
No.
The helicopter thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but it only had to go a couple miles.
And Johnny was like Paul London when they were helicoptering me away. Like, but Vince and Paul London was like,
yeah.
With a smile on his face.
So,
all right. So, who are we picking for this match? Danger Ginger. Let's start with you.
I was about to ask, what match were we talking about again?
Velcro and Ellsworth.
Well, you know what? Ellsworth established, right? Like, he's put in the work, he's put in the time. But you know what? I'll go out on a limb here, and I'll go with Velcro. You all know, right. I don't know why. It's something about just the smile, the way he looks, that I'm like, I don't know, with Ellsworth not having a chin, if he's ready for that.
Or is it easier for him to evade punches to the face?
If he grew like a woodsman beard, like, he'd never be able to be punched in the face.
But yeah, I'm going to go with Velcro on this. I mean, he's had some matches, you know, and maybe that youth with him, having Tay-Rock at ringside with him, will be the difference.
All right, BJ, who do you got?
Well, Ellsworth. In my estimation, he seems too comfortable with this. He seems like someone who's like, yeah, it's a payday for him.
This seems like a situation where he could go in the ring all full of energy and just get rolled up 1, 2, 3, and it's over.
That's probably not going to happen. But yeah, no. I see where you're coming from. I feel like it means more to Velcro. He wears a lot of hats. He's got his hand in a lot of pots, however it goes. He's got a lot of things cooking on the stove, and I feel like that's focus right there. That's not someone who's sitting back and collecting royalty checks. That's someone who's hungry.
Absolutely.
Who's going to win this match? It's Velcro.
But we've heard from Ellsworth. That's what I'll say. Ellsworth has a certain confidence to him, and I know Ellsworth pretty well. I've known him his entire career. He came in a little bit after me, but he has a confidence to him. I will say he had, you know, Ellsworth is a very busy guy. He promotes a company that tours over the country doing events. And he's also booked, like you said, he's Ultimate Ellsworth. He was at WrestleCon just, you know, during Royal Rumble weekend. And he still found the time to find out about Velcro, to research Velcro and Tay-Rock, and also took the time to record a message for Velcro. So I think that, well, Ellsworth, you know, he falls into a certain lane that wrestlers we all love fall into. However, I think he's pretty confident, and he's putting himself out there. So my money's on Ellsworth.
Hey, well, all right. He has a fighting chance, but we'll see what happens.
Who you got there, Shep?
I like the idea of Velcro. I like the face paint, the black and white. I think it's a great look. I think he's probably, from what I've heard, he sounds like he's got the passion for it. But this is his first match. That's what gives me pause here. Ellsworth is a veteran. He's been around. He may not have a chin, but I think he's going to get the win. So I'm calling Ellsworth.
All right. Sounds good there. Sounds like we finally have stuff we all don't agree on here. I like it. I like it.
There we go.
So let's do the dumpster match next.
This match is going to be highly entertaining. Kurt Robinson has just been a pill for so many people at SPO. And hopefully Homeless Vaughn, one of the crowd favorites. Everybody loves him. You never know where he's going to come from in the arena. He might be sleeping on or under the ring, or come from. Yeah, you never know where you're going to see Homeless Vaughn coming from, and you never know what he's going to do. So a dumpster match just seems perfect between these two. As far as I can tell, this could be the most entertaining match of the night. Could be one of the more violent matches of the night too, because dumpster match, obviously we're not going to have any rules here.
I think it could be a messy match.
Oh, absolutely. So, Danger Ginger, what are you thinking that you're going to expect to see out of this match from Homeless Vaughn?
Well, the first thing I expect before anything is when Kurt Robinson comes out and we're waiting for Homeless Vaughn to appear, that he's going to come out the dumpster. That's the first thing I'm expecting. But these guys, we've seen them go against each other, what, twice before now? We've seen this go around a couple times, and I think they're 1-1 each.
Yep, so we are on the rubber match.
Yeah. I think Homeless Vaughn's going to be in his environment here.
Literally.
You know, but Kurt Robinson, he calls himself calculated for a reason. And we do know some of the people who have trained him in his career, and all of them are pretty straightforward grapplers and mental people in the game. But I think I got Homeless Vaughn in this one.
Think that he just has that environmental advantage?
Yeah, because if it's one thing I'll never say is, regardless of how he appears for his match, he's always prepared. Like, he's not somebody who goes in there and just gets the crap beat out of him just straight away and isn't there for no reason. Like, he's there to put up a fight as well, and I think he wins the rubber band match.
Now, BJ, what are you expecting to see out of Kurt Robinson coming at Homeless Vaughn for this third match here?
Well, I can't speak to that. All I can say is I spoke with Homeless Vaughn at the last Super Crazy show in early January. And, well, I don't really understand what his response was to what I asked him. But at the same time, he had a look in his eyes that instilled the confidence that tells me that he's going to win this match.
I think Homeless Vaughn has the advantage here. Like you said, he's in his environment. This is something that he's been training for and been prepared for several years now, Homeless Vaughn. Dumpster diving is nothing new to this man.
Second in nature.
It's second nature, yes.
In fact, if you dumpster dive, you lose.
He's, you know, in the vein.
You do have to close the lid to lose.
But in the vein.
Okay.
He knows his way around a dumpster, let's just say.
Yeah, in the vein of Duke Drosy or Oscar the Grouch, I think that Homeless Vaughn is going to be truly at home. In fact, yeah. I would say that we could call him Home Full Vaughn in this situation, because the dumpster is, in fact, his second home. So my money, my dollar, my crumpled up dollar bill is Homeless Vaughn.
His first home being underneath the ring at the Super Crazy Arena.
My handful of change is on Vaughn.
He slept under the ring at the firehouse too, guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you, can I give you my analysis on this match, what I noticed?
Yes, please, John.
Yeah, exactly. Kurt Robinson has the best hairline in pro wrestling.
Look at that beautiful hairline there.
Mine's good, but like his is beats me, man.
That hairline is Johnny.
Mine was great when I was in my 20s.
He's like Canteen Pro V guy, Kurt. Right? Yeah.
Pantene.
And we could have fans going. He could just blow his hair in the wind. Yeah, Mitch. Okay, Kurt Pantene.
Yeah.
Chef.
I am also going with Homeless Vaughn. I think this man knows his way around a dumpster and the accoutrement you can find within it. I'm pretty sure he's going to find a bunch of disgusting stuff to hit Kurt with that Kurt is just not going to be ready for. And that's going to just throw him off his game. He's going to wind up in that dumpster and not know what to do and panic. And Vaughn's going to get that lid shut.
Yeah,
that's pretty much how I think this is going to happen. All right. Moving on, we've got one more tag match to go here, and boy, is it a big one. This the superpowers of Blade and Gotch versus the Rep. This match was set up at the last match when Blade and Gotch were just in the middle of a classic match, and the Rep decided to insert themselves and break the whole thing up. It was just a crazy end to that match because the match itself was so good. Watching it ringside, it was amazing to watch Blade and Gotch, the technical prowess going against each other, the way they did it. And then the Rep just storms in. Next thing you know, the match is thrown out. And we have both, all four guys just yelling back and forth at each other. Next thing we know, we've got this match set up here. So, DG, what do you think about what we're going to see out of the Rep from this time? They obviously had a reason they attacked Blade and Gotch. What do you think we're going to see out of them coming at these two?
It's very interesting here. Like, this is the one match on this card I've been torn between for multiple reasons. Gotch is no joke. Blade is no joke. We've seen the Rep. They're former tag team champions. They're no joke. And I mean, that's to the point where Dave almost kicked me in the head getting thrown out the ring during their match at the last show. Let alone BJ getting called out.
All right.
You lucked out. You didn't catch one of those boots.
Oh, yeah. I saw the bomb.
I had to catch it. I saved your life. I had to catch it. You saw that, right?
But yeah.
So, BJ, between Blade and Gotch, you did get called out by Blade last time, but this time they are teaming together. Do you think that they have a chance to overcome the Rep and just that sheer power and size that those two represent?
How many years of experience do we have between Rick Effin' Blade and Simon Gotch? Versus
decades.
How many years of experience do we have against the Rep?
The Rep are a regular tag team, though, and as I said, former tag team champions. Like, there's something to that there, to where, yeah, they might have the experience, but these guys have been teaming together for a while now. There's more chemistry there. They don't have to sit there and call stuff out to each other. Like, they just know what the other's going to do because they're used to tagging together.
Look, I'm just trying to figure out a way that Rick Blade doesn't personally, like, call me out during the match again.
He's, you know, whereas Blade and Gotch last time was a competitive match between two high level athletes.
Absolutely.
This is a grudge match. So I don't think Rick Blade, yeah. No offense, BJ. I think Rick Blade, though, is going to just not even be able to look into that crowd or focus on anybody in that crowd because this is, and I
know, by all means.
And I fought Rick Blade, you know, in July, and I could tell you that this is the biggest test that Rick Blade is facing since coming back to pro wrestling. I will
absolutely agree.
Because that's right, Rick Blade and GQ.
But that was something that happened impromptu. We weren't expecting that. I was there to simply, you know, put Live Danger in their place for being ungrateful and going.
It probably wouldn't have happened if you guys wouldn't have done that. So
I don't know, but my point being that
Blade, Gotch,
I can't.
This is different. This is, you know, Blade appeared in July. Blade prepared for an exhibition in November.
Right.
Blade and Gotch had been training for a fight on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So this is different. This is going to be the Rick Blade, Johnny. I don't need to bring up the Rick Blade that you remember.
That
But could we see, could he tap CZW into that Rick for Blade. This?
Johnny's feeling some bump.
We're live right now. Rick Blade is live.
Oh,
working. Rick if you Blade.
Wow, look at that training regimen.
Yeah, you could say he's getting those reps in.
Rick, if you're going to call BJ out again, just keep working out and don't pay me any mind.
He's got some good control on those down.
Looking good. He's looking ready.
I can barely bench press. I can barely bench, and I'm in pretty good shape. I can barely bench press, but that man is curling right now. I can also tell you that Rick is a multiple time black belt in Tung Soo Do. I made it to brown belt and it was the hardest year and a half of my life. And Rick has went on to do it for years and years and years longer than I have. So Rick brings a skill set. Unlike he is the most, I hate using the word legitimate in professional wrestling, but Rick is the most legitimate badass in independent wrestling. And he's also the nicest guy. And they go, Rick can be a lamb to his wife and kids and to his fans because he can be a lion in the ring when he needs to be. So my money is on Gotch and Blade. I would not want to face the rep again, but I certainly would not want to face an angry Rick Blade and Simon Gotch.
Mm-mm. I'll tell you what.
It's barely been a year since Rick Blade has returned to pro wrestling.
Right. So, right.
I think this would be a year.
Almost 11 months.
Almost
a year.
Because I believe I posted the video from when he did come back, when he put face through the table with
the backseat. Yep.
When he didn't go through the table.
The triple T gimmick. That was a hell of a table. That's one of those firehouse tables, BJ.
I have all of that on like my cell phone.
Don't fault us for buying good furniture, BJ.
Hey, that table was the MVP of that.
Doors are cheaper.
But so, for having been out of the business for so long and coming back in for within 1 year being tagged up with Simon Gotch and going against the rep, that is a hell of an arc for Rick Blade to have followed for the past year. And I don't think it's on a downward trajectory anytime soon. And I am actually in agreement. I'm also picking Blade and Gotch to win this match. Yeah.
Now we
have
know
the technical prowess of Gotch. You have just the insane ability of Rick Blade. The rep with many years less of experience stand no chance. They're beasts. They're absolute.
I'm not saying they stand no chance. I mean, there's no way to say the rep stands no chance, BJ. You can't say that.
So I'm getting a little dramatic.
Just like it was brought up earlier about Primal Fear, about that hunt for tag team gold, right? The rep have had tag team gold and then they lost it, not even at a SPO event where multiple championships were on the line that the backseats won. I think that they have a chip on their shoulder right now. I think that they're hungry for that gold again and to get another shot at the backseats. But at the same time, with the experience with Gotch and Blade, and just the shape that he stays in, and we know what he's willing to do in that ring. Like how powerful the rep may be, he could take a beating and keep on coming. And there's a lot of stuff and tricks in his playbook we haven't even seen in SPO yet. So I think I am in agreement here as well against my better judgment to pick the rep. And I'm going Gotch and Blade. I think they somehow do pull it out because they both also have a chip on their shoulder for having their match being interrupted and not being able to have a straight up one-on-one winner between them, which I hope at some point we get that match again to actually have a winner.
And Dave, Nate, if you've got a problem with that, we'll be front row. Come see us.
Please do.
You're out of your mind.
BJ speaks for himself.
You're out of your mind.
They're out of their
Dave,
minds.
Nate, I respect you guys.
Hey,
too
I'm
much.
Ginger. Just... If you thought I was in my mind to begin with, I'm sorry.
I start booking with Johnny just so I would never have to face the rep again.
All I got to say is,
and you still pitch against them.
I'm winding down. I'm getting older. Those guys, you know, they are tough guys. BJ, don't. And, you know, BJ, you pissed them off before Saturday. That might change my prediction because if the rep is really, really wound up and fired up,
we gotta remember too, they do have a history with Dewey. He might not have been at the last show. It doesn't mean he can't show up at some point now.
Doesn't mean he's not strategizing with them either.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a really special match. It's a really special time to be a fan of independent wrestling, especially if you were a fan. We see so many people online that talk about the old CZW, and guys come up to Johnny and I all the time. They come up to Ruckus and I all the time, and they talk about, the OGs in the old days. Well, they're not the old days. They're today. Rick Blade is still going strong. And as you see, he, right now, Rick Blade is probably 101, 102.
Still, do we have an update? Do we have an update?
He'll still have one more rep to take care of on Saturday at Harris.
I love this guy. His puns are phenomenal.
Let's see what you did there. Let's see what you did there.
Well done. We have one more match to discuss here. It is the main event here. The champion, the Feral Face, versus the Chocolate Juggalo, Willie Mack. This is going to be a hell of a brawl here. I am here for it. I know all of us are here for it. BJ, what are you looking forward to most out of this match?
Mitch, no, I can handle myself. Thank you.
But you know what? As being, I can't let a member of the Danger Ginger crew go at it alone. And at the same time, I think
we might
be a good idea. I'm just throwing that out there.
We rolled deep.
I'm just there to count for three.
To answer your question, Chef. So look at the pedigree here. Look at the pedigree of the man on the left in your picture.
Oh, yes.
Lucha Underground, TNA, Ring of Honor, JC Dub. Like Urban this Wrestling guy, Federation. What's that?
Urban Wrestling Federation.
Okay. Yeah, this guy's been all over the place. I mean, this guy.
He's a worldwide star.
Nothing
he has
short.
Traveled all over the world.
AAA. Yeah.
Nothing short of an international legend. Or, sorry, maybe a national. I don't know. I don't know if he's done anything overseas. But anyway, Willie Mack, man, this guy is. If you don't know Willie Mack, you're not a wrestling fan, pretty much.
He's special.
Or you're new to wrestling.
Or you're a new fan. Sure. Let's include everyone. But yeah, no, Feral Face, I've seen too much of him to bet against him in any match. This guy is an absolute sociopath. This guy, Johnny.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw what you two put yourselves through, and you barely survived that.
He has my utmost respect. I mean, he's a monster, you know? Like, here he is coming out of bricks.
Here we go.
Yeah. It's like a supervillain, right? Like Batman just beats up a villain, and then that villain in that last comic book panel, you just see his hand reach out the rubble.
Yeah.
He's an animal.
Yeah, man, I'm going face, man. Face retains. He's our champion. He's a maniac, but he's our champion.
He reminds me of those fighters like Manny Pacquiao, right? Those Filipino-type boxers who just take a punch and they'll just keep stepping into it and stepping into it. Like nothing keeps him back. But this is also in the other side of the ring, the JCW champion we're talking about in the Chocolate Juggalo, Willie Mack. Let's just not forget and gloss over the fact that this man is also a current world champion.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Danger Ginger, what are you expecting to see between these two? How much just monstrosity of violence are you expecting in this match?
Between what Willie Mack's capable of using high-flying moves, given his size and everything, as compared to go up against Face's toughness and that just he can't be knocked out mentality. Like, it's a clash of styles. This is going to come to who hits the biggest move first. Who hits that knockout punch? And I think also that's going to be Face. No disrespect to the JCW champion whatsoever, who is doing great things in JCW right now. He's facing some of the top talent in the world. But what do you do when you're basically going up against the Terminator or the evil version of Superman who just doesn't stay down?
You think we might be marked?
He doesn't feel pain, BJ. He really doesn't. I've been in there with him. He was making snow angels topless, laying down in thumbtacks on the wrestling ring.
I will put it like this. In this situation, Willie Mack has nothing to lose and everything to gain. his championship is not on the line.
Good point. Great.
So that does bring up the idea that he can go in there and give it his all. And he's also somebody who's been in some pretty hardcore style matches, right? He's not a stranger to that match, that style of going up against somebody that tough.
Mm-hmm.
But face, I think, it's just that good. Maybe not even that good, just that tough that he could take that beating and will the win.
Johnny, Johnny, you know what it takes to beat face. Do you think Willie brings that to enough to beat face in this match?
My guess is Willie's coming into this thinking that he's ready. But when the match starts, I think Willie's going to come to a very strict, very stern realization quickly that he's got to up his game fast. And I'm starting to think Willie is actually the kind of guy that can switch gears at a moment's notice and rise to the occasion. So I think we're going to witness something. If we're paying attention, I think we're going to witness Willie shift to a gear we haven't seen in a while. And I'm going to be peeking through the curtain to watch that.
I'm intrigued. This is definitely going to be a hard-hitting match. Willie Mack is a beast. Feral Face is a literal monster. And in this match, who do you pick between a beast and a monster? Whoever the writer chooses and the writers. Who knows who the writers are even in this world that we're at this point? But
well, I can tell you right now, I have no idea what's going to happen.
No.
I can tell you this. No matter what happens, you know, in this business, every couple years, guys travel and then words start traveling. People start hearing about a guy from another guy. And, hey, where'd you get that from? What happened to you? Oh, I was working with this guy out in Philly, Feral Face, and I have to get these two teeth replaced, or I had to get these stitches. I had to get. Oh, yeah. And people start saying, oh, gee, you had to work face. You had to wrestle face. I think that's what's going to happen. I think no matter what happens, I think that people in the JCW locker room and in AAA and everywhere else that Willie travels, they're going to hear about face and they're going to know about face. Now, Willie might have that SPO title in his bag when he's telling those stories, but he'll have paid a pretty, pretty heavy cost to leave it.
If Willie pulls it off, I absolutely agree with that. Like, he's going to leave a piece of himself in that ring to get that championship. Maybe he'll leave a piece of himself in that ring and not win the championship.
Yeah, this isn't the Ellsworth match. You know,
this is the complete opposite.
And let me tell you, Johnny and I, when we were able to confirm Willie Mack was going to be there, we were so excited because he's an incredible
modern legend.
He's somebody I've never gotten to see compete live. So when I saw that, my excitement level for this show just went up even more.
With his fan base, we were in the Urban Wrestling Federation together years ago, which is what one of his first. It was, I think, the first time he was on national TV, and it was like, you know, he reminded me of Monty Brown a little bit with his move set.
Okay,
his personality. I mean, he is electric. He is truly a captivating, magnetizing individual. The same way that Biggie had that like swagger to him. He was a heavy set guy, but he was a lovable big teddy bear, Tony Soprano, you know, the type I'm talking about, the big sexy. That's Willie Mack. That's Willie Mack.
Yep. And Robbie, should we got Willie Dange coming. Who should play Willie Mack to the ring?
I mean, Willie Dange would seem like.
I mean, that sounds perfect there.
If Willie Dange has a song called My Name is Willie, well, now we have like a whole built-in thing going. You know,
yeah.
We're going to have to get shirts made immediately. My name
is Willie. This is exciting.
Willie from Philly.
Yes. I love it. Good stuff. Speaking of Philly and the area around it, Robbie, we got a real quick talk about Thursday, bro.
Oh my God.
Oh, yes.
Celebrity boxing press conference, guys. xrumble.com is where you go to RSVP. It's open to the public. It'll be at the pub at Iceworks in Aston, PA. You definitely want to check that out. Go to xrumble.com and RSVP. I'm going to be there. Robbie's going to be there. Mayor Roots is going to be there. We think Hank from Buffalo Wild Wings is going to be there. And Mr. Bristow is going to be there to live stream. So whatever happens, whatever goes down, you're going to get to see it Thursday, even if you're not there, but try to make it to the ice rinks. Robbie, yeah. I'm already having agita. I'm going to freeze my ass in the ice rink, and you're going to give me agita because you're going to start trouble. I already can feel it.
I'm going to show up to the ice rink like Christian Slater in Untamed Heart and catch a hockey puck before it hits somebody in the face. No, I look, as far as Damon Feldman goes and celebrity boxing goes, he's given us a platform. Oh, Mitch will be there. He's giving us a platform to promote this event. So ultimately, Damon knows what he's getting himself into. He look, nobody books me at these events to come over and shake hands and kiss babies and jump up and down and talk about how good life is and blah, 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 blah. Nobody looks at me as an inspirational person, so I'm not going to go there and be one. I'm going to be the exact opposite. I'm going to just come, instead of being an inspiration, I'm going to be a letdown. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come and be a letdown.
And you're going to be, you're just going to be so great at it, too.
My glasses will be bigger and darker than Robbie's, too.
I don't know about that, Mitch.
Where does Sam Ross? I got these too.
Ray Charles doesn't have bigger glasses than Robbie.
Yeah,
oh yeah.
Oh. God.
Well,
step into that.
So, do we have anything else to cover?
That is all of the matches we have there. Johnny, thank you again for putting this whole event together and getting the SPO rolling. This is. Been a fun ride just being here, able to just be our small part of SPO that we have been able to do. So thank you for that. Robbie, entertaining as always, sir. You are one of the most entertaining guys out there today, and I thank you for that. And always be yourself, sir. Please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Everything you guys do, thank you so much. Yes. You know,
and I just want to correct you, Chef. You guys aren't a small part of SPO. You are the part of SPO. You are SPO, all right? And I mean that. That's reality. I mean, I would wrestle in front of three people, but I like wrestling in front of hundreds of people. And if you guys didn't support us, we wouldn't have the fan base that we have now. We wouldn't have the means to put together this awesome card. And that being said, you know, the whole – a lot of guys in indies know the whole point of Fighting Spirit and the way that started at FMW, the whole spirit of FMW in Japan was, even if there were three people in the crowd, and some of those, Johnny, you know, you've worked over in Japan. Some of those shows are like small indie shows out there. You go out there and you give everything you got because those people believe in you. So that's, and I hate pandering. I hate that shit. But I mean it, guys. You guys are the sole reason. There is no such thing in this business or in this world as a self-made man or a self-made person. We all need somebody to believe in us and to advocate for us. So I can't thank you guys enough for what you've done for SPO. And Johnny, I can't thank you enough, big bro, for helping put together this wonderful card in the back seats. And Mitch, you know, and most of all you fans, we can't thank you more than by giving you the best show that you've ever been to on Saturday.
Absolutely. Robbie, you're too kind, and you're absolutely right, Doug.
Yeah, like I say, it's absolute honor to be able to come on and do this with you guys. And oh, yes. I absolutely appreciate everything you guys are doing with SPO, doing with us, having us on here. You even inspired us to have our own show.
If it wasn't for what's going on down there, these guys up here wouldn't even know each other. Or I wouldn't know them. They would know each other. But, like, this wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for SPO.
Yeah. So just as much as you're going to give us our flowers, we got to give you guys your flowers as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Because without you, none of this is happening. We felt that energy and that spirit from the first show we attended with SPO. and that energy and that dedication to the fans and seeing it grow over the past year has been absolutely amazing to see it what it is now.
And you guys know I'm a loud voice in the crowd.
Hell yeah.
I was intimidated that first show. I was like, should I? I don't know. So I wasn't really as loud as I am now. You know what I mean? Like
you've blossomed. You've blossomed in loudness.
No, I was always that loud. I was just like, is this the right place? And then at the second show, I was like, oh yeah, this is the right place. I have favorites and everybody needs to know.
I mean, also just real quick, I'd like to also mention the back seats, because they're a huge part as well as everything and opportunities and stuff like that. So thank you to you guys as well.
Yep. No, I'm a lucky man. I'm a lucky man to have great little brothers in Robbie and the back seats and the entire Spo world. I'm now a big brother to everyone in Spo. That's my new gimmick. I'm America's big brother, Robbie, like Mayor
Richard.
America's mayor.
Don't throw that in his face. He has a master prepared for him. That's not helping, all right?
I will see America's mayor on Thursday at the celebrity box.
Hey, I'm just waiting to see you hop up that ladder one leg.
Shut your mouth right now, Eddie. I'll slap you, Eddie.
Celebrity boxing this Thursday, everybody. Don't forget. And check out SpoWrestling.com for your tickets. Tickets are still on sale. And for every ticket you buy, we let a kid in.
That's right. That's absolutely right. I hope everybody heard that. If you guys can't make the show, but you just need to know what happened and you, for some reason, don't watch the live stream, do not fear. Join myself and those two guys.
Well, I think that's just me, but...
Oh, he'll be at work. He'll be at work, yeah. So, hey, BJ and DG Talk Wrestling... 1 o'clock Sunday, we're going to be doing a review show.
So the very next day, so the event is Saturday. The very next day, check out these guys at BJDG Talk Wrestling on YouTube. Good stuff, guys. I'm excited for it. We're going to be watching. But yeah, thanks, guys. We went an hour and a half, which is fine.
We had 8 matches to talk about, and Robbie, you know, took a good 25 minutes of that. He's educating us.
Nice. Good stuff,
he
guys.
He turned over a leaf or whatever down here, man.
If I'm going to make my brother cash at me $250 for this time, I might as well give you...
Oh, don't remind Ed. Jeff.
Yeah.
Again, thank you, guys. We had a great time, and we can't wait to do this again.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much, guys. Can't wait to see everybody Saturday.
See everybody Saturday. Yes.
Key to the city.